This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I guess I just never understand that question. I mean, you guys, your number one receiver, you pay him a lot of money. What are you going to do? Like, so we're going to go into this game and not throw him the ball? You know what I mean? Like, we're always going to throw him the ball. I guess I don't even understand not your question. I'm just saying that whole theory of they throw the ball to Hopkins a lot. Well, no kidding. Wouldn't you?
Bill O'Brien,
that is classic.
Next year, I'm going to do a better job of flagging cuts like that so that we can go back and do a montage at the end of the year of O'Brien cuts. Because when he gets, I wouldn't say he was salty in that. I think he was just being kind of sarcastic.
Yeah, I think salty's actually a good word. Salty's pretty benevolent. Salty's not anger.
You're right. Yeah, so maybe salty in that one when he was asked a question about feeding DeAndre Hopkins the football at some point during the season. The reason we bump in with Bill O'Brien effusively praising DeAndre Hopkins is because Pro Football Focus's top 101 has DeAndre Hopkins ranked as the number one offensive player in all of football.
Wow.
Which makes me feel somewhat vindicated, Rich, because since the beginning of this season, both on the Texans programming that I do and on this show, I have been saying from the get-go this year that the best football player, just football player, not most valuable, that's Deshaun Watson, not most iconic, that's J.J. Watt,
right,
but the best player at his job on the Texans is clear. It's DeAndre Hopkins.
For the record, Patrick Mahomes won the official Offensive Player of the Year award, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I just know
on
that
the NFL awards show.
This is PFF.
This is PFF. And that's fine. I'm not downgrading it at all. I'm just saying that the official Offensive Player of the Year award, as well as MVP, went to Patrick Mahomes. But there's certainly a case that DeAndre Hopkins is the most impactful offensive player in the league.
Well, I think you could certainly make a case. Let me put it this way. If you were to say, let's put all the quarterbacks aside, because the quarterbacks, by nature of their position, almost have a leg up in these most valuable players.
Right, they're touching the football every down. That's why it's hard for me to name a receiver as someone who wins this award.
Right. So, but here's where I was going with this, is let's put all the quarterbacks aside for a second, and if you tell me I get to take DeAndre Hopkins in the argument for best, most valuable non-quarterback in the NFL, I'll have at it all day with that.
Sure.
DeAndre Hopkins didn't drop a single pass all year long.
Wait, stop there. DeAndre Hopkins didn't drop a ball this year.
Didn't drop a single pass all year
nuts.
Long.
That's nuts.
You know when it's nuts, Rich? When you go and you watch his highlight film. You go and watch DeAndre Hopkins' highlight film, and you watch the number of difficult catches that he makes on a regular basis every Sunday. That guy, I mean, there's plenty of catches he makes because the scheme gets him open, Deshaun throws him open, he gets open, but there are plenty of catches he makes where, almost by design, he's got guys draped on him, but you're letting him go make a play. Specifically think of things like the touchdown catch to win the Jets game. Plenty of other catches along the way that are just highlight catches. Rich, the catches that he makes sometimes where Deshaun throws the ball low and away where only he can get it, and Deshaun is catching the ball 3 inches off the ground and finding a way to reel it in. So if you go back to the fact, didn't drop a ball all year.
Yeah.
He is a willing blocker when need be on the outside.
Absolutely.
Yards after catch, which has been a big improvement in his game over the last few years, makes a ton of plays that, quite honestly, almost no other receiver can make the plays that he makes. And, oh, by the way, he's done it with Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
Yeah.
He's done it with Brock Osweiler at quarterback, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Mallett, Brandon Whedon, Case Keenum, Tom Savage. If you want me to keep going, I will, because there's at least two or three more that I didn't name that have started games. T.J. Yates, that have started games for this team. There's that. He also does it. Doesn't matter who's lined up on the other side. Yes, sure, it's easier when Kiki QT's out there getting 11 catches in a game or Will Fuller is stretching the field. But there were plenty of games this year where Vincent Smith was the guy on the other side. Yeah. And what does DeAndre Hopkins go do? He goes and gets 12 catches for you.
Also cashes in 24 touchdowns combined the last 2 years, right, including a league-leading 13 in 2017.
Which, if we're comparing him to previous franchise icons position,
that's
that
why
is
I bring it up.
That is an item of
Andre Johnson's career best. Despite what Brian Cushing said at the Houston Sports Awards.
Right. I think he gave him 5 extra touchdowns.
He did. Nine.
Yeah, it's 9. DeAndre Hopkins has had double-digit touchdowns multiple times, including, as you said, 24 the last couple of years. So, I don't know who the other non-quarterbacks are that are in that argument. I'll keep it to the offensive side of the ball, because I certainly think Aaron Donald has a great argument for most valuable non-quarterback in the league. I think there's a handful of other guys. If we're keeping it to the offensive side of the ball, and you're doing a draft where you get to pick an offensive player, all the quarterbacks are off limits. Those will get dispersed some other time. But there's a dispersal draft for offensive players, non-quarterbacks. Give me Hopkins number one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, last week at this time, the day after the Super Bowl, I was marveling at a number of things, including Tom Brady's chemistry with Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski. The way he knows them so well and they know him so well, the chemistry between thrower and target is just absolutely remarkable. D-Hop has that with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So sort of another level connection between quarterback and receiver that allows them to do things that most QB receiver combos are incapable of.
The amazing thing is he's had it with everybody except Brock, right? I mean, he had his first 1,000-yard season with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Mallett splitting the starts. He had his first Pro Bowl season with Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, and TJ Yates splitting the starts. He had his first All-Pro season with Deshaun Watson for 6 games and Tom Savage and TJ Yates for the rest of the year.
He's looked the part.
And then he's had this season with Deshaun the entire year.
He's looked the part since his preseason, his rookie year in 2013.
Yeah.
The moment he stepped on the field, he looked like the guy.
Yeah. So he was the number 2 overall player. By the way, Aaron Donald was the number 1 overall player on Pro Football Focus's list. If you're wondering who the other Texans are, I think there's an interesting pattern here, Rich, and it's relevant because of Jadeveon Clowney heading into free agency. And here's what I mean. DeAndre Hopkins was number 2. J.J. Watt, number 19 on the list. So good for J.J. for getting back in the mix. In a peak J.J. year, he would have been a guy who's in the top 5. But 19's pretty good.
Top 20 player in the league.
Top 20 player in the league.
After what he went through, that's a win.
And we'll hear from J.J. in the next segment. He was on the Pardon My Take podcast.
Did we clean up that potty mouth?
I hope we did. Hey, if we didn't, it's not my fault. I replied all to everybody and said that there's a word that needs to be cleaned up in cut number 4.
It is a podcast, after all.
I just cleaned it up a few minutes ago.
Okay, good. But JJ answered, and we'll get to the top of the hour, but JJ answered the question of, if someone had told you you would do XYZ before the year, would you have signed up for that? And I love that question, because that's all we did in the preseason with JJ. Sign up for what we thought he could do. JJ, number 19. The Texans got 6 players on this list, okay? They're the only teams with more players on the list were the Rams, Chicago, and Kansas City.
This is the top 101.
Top 101. Rams had 8. Chicago and Kansas City each had 7. Chicago's all 7 are on the defensive side of the ball. That's amazing. And then the Texans, Patriots, and Saints, all had 6. Hopkins, 2. Watt, 19. Clowney, 46. Deshaun, 77. 10th among quarterbacks, in case you're wondering. Sounds about right. 85th was Kareem Jackson. 94th was Benardrick McKinney. Here's what's interesting to me about these 6 guys, Rich. Okay? You've got DeAndre Hopkins, a guy who the team gave an extension to with a year left on his deal.
Right.
You've got J.J. Watt, a guy that got his second contract with 2 seasons left on his deal. You've got Kareem Jackson, a guy the team let go to free agency but brought him back on a deal that's wound up being a decent value, I would say, for the team. Benardrick McKinney's a guy they gave a contract extension to with a year left on his deal. Deshaun Watson is a guy who's going to get an extension the second they can give him one.
Of course.
And then there's Clowney. It's just sort of sitting out
there. Kind of the outlier.
And granted, this is a different GM than the one that gave out, well, Benardrick McKinney's not. Brian Gainn gave Benardrick McKinney an extension that made him one of the highest paid guys
and
at
John,
his position.
We've said this. If Clowney were allowed to hit the market, he'd be the number 1 free agent in the NFL this offseason.
He'd be the highest paid defensive player in football.
That's why there's no way he's hitting the market.
He would eclipse Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. But I find it interesting, you know, as we're looking at this Clowney thing from all these different angles, is that the team willingly gave all these big contracts to these other guys. Now, Kareem had to hit the open market, but Kareem's not a player that has historically been on this sort of level. It's only the second time he's made this top 101 list.
Because of his conversion to safety.
Right. What I find interesting is that the Texans, by and large, and I'll add Dwayne Brown in there, Brian Cushing, the injuries got to him. But when the Texans have, when it's come time for the Texans to give out contract extensions internally to existing players, they've done a pretty good job of getting value out of it. They've done a pretty good job of identifying the guys who should be the big ticket guys and be here long term. And I think more importantly, identifying guys who have taken their, once they get that big money, have not rested on their laurels. They've all taken their game to another level. Hopkins gets the big money. What happens? He makes first team all pro twice. JJ Watt gets the big money. What happens? He wins two more Defensive Player of the Year awards. Kareem Jackson gets the big money, and here he is 4 years into it, and he's still at age 30 performing at a high level. Benardrick McKinney gets the big money. He makes his first Pro Bowl after getting the big contract. I think that's a really key thing when you identify guys, Rich. Are these going to be guys who, when you give them the big money, that they're going to not just continue to play at the level you're paying them for, but show an example to the rest of the team to build on that? And that's one of those things that, as I look at Clowney, I ask myself, do they not think he's one of those guys? All the evidence visually is that Clowney is a high-effort guy who's come back from injuries, who works really, really hard, and yet they're sort of slow-playing this whole thing. When you look at the care, and like I said, Deshaun is an outlier right now only because he's still on his rookie deal. When the time comes for Deshaun to get 5 years, $150 million, whatever it is, whatever Patrick Mahomes gets, Deshaun Watson is going to be in Patrick Mahomes' neighborhood.
Yeah.
It may not be as much, but he's going to be in that neighborhood. So we know Deshaun's going to get, but there's Clowney, who, while one of the top 50 players in the league, viewed by his peers as one of the top 32 players in the league, he was the NFL top 100, number 32 player, Pro Bowl 3 years in a row, maybe not all pro, but a high performer, and yet here he sits probably on a franchise tag. I just find it interesting when you look at the characteristics and the career trajectories of the other guys who are viewed as being in this category of player, and what the Texans have done with them contractually, and what they've continued to do as players, that here Clowney sits on an island.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah,
it really is. I still think it's a fait accompli that they're going to tag him. What remains to be seen is if they would entertain trade offers after they tag him.
Yeah, and I think they would. And I think they owe it to themselves to do that. Text message, are you guys bleeping high? Clowney would not eclipse Donald and Mac. Nobody's going to give the guy the kind of money you all think they are.
No. It's all about timing. We didn't say he's better than them. It's timing.
Nobody thinks as highly of the Texans players as you guys here in Houston do. Here's the thing. Right. This is not us gushing and saying Clowney's the best defensive player in football. You're right, Rich. It's the market. In Texter, I would point you to Mario Williams in 2012 when he hit the open market. He hit the open market after the 2011 season, a season in which he tore a pectoral muscle 5 games into the year.
Yeah.
So he was injured the year before coming off an injury. And the Texans, in part because they drafted J.J. Watt, Brooks Reed actually looked like he was going to be something. Connor Barwin looked really good. They looked at Mario Williams and said, we've already got guys who we think can get after the quarterback. We're going to let him go and hit the open market. What happened? Mario Williams, who I think has a career that in many ways kind of mirrors Clowney a little bit. Former first overall pick.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of injured at times. Maybe a bit of a disappointment, but still a really good player. He hit the open market. What happened? Buffalo flies him up there, and they sequester him in the building, and they don't let him hit the open market. So that's, Texter, we're not going to find out because they're going to franchise tag him, but I promise you, if he were to hit the open market, he would become the highest paid defensive player in football, because all it takes is two teams with cap space desperate to get a guy like Clowney, thinking that we can make him into even more than what the Texans made him into. And that's what he'll turn into.
That's what it is. It's not about how we feel about him as a player versus those other players. It's what the market would bear. And what the market would bear is I agree with you, probably a record-breaking deal.
Rich, the one that stabs you right in the heart on this PFF 101, you see who number 78 is right after Deshaun Watson?
I'm actually scanning the list as we speak, so I don't know yet.
Dwayne Brown. He's number 78 on the list. And the capsule on Dwayne Brown says, Dwayne Brown allowed just 21 quarterback pressures from his 501 pass blocking snaps on the year. Can you imagine a guy like this protecting Deshaun? Surrendered just 6 combined sacks and hits on the year. 6. Julian Davenport had games where he gave up 6 sacks and hits.
That's painful.
Yeah, especially when you consider Julian Davenport led the entire NFL tackles. in penalties, pressures allowed, QB hits allowed, and he was second in sacks allowed and hurries allowed.
What I was scanning the list for, Sean, was to see how many safeties are listed ahead of Kareem at number 85, and the number's 4. He's listed as the 5th best safety in the NFL.
And Tyrann Mathieu did not make the top 101 just for,
he did not.
For reference's sake.
Right, because we've posed that question. If you can only keep one, who do you keep? And I think you and I have both said Mathieu, mainly because he's younger.
I've said Jackson, but I think it's going to be Mathieu.
Oh, okay.
If you're asking me to wager on it, I'll say Mathieu. I think Matthew's a pretty decent favorite.
I think age and upside makes me think Mathieu.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Mathieu, but I would make a strong case for Jackson, I think, in that argument. Some other interesting things on here. We can get to them later. But I probably the one I would touch on here, Rich, the player who the Browns drafted with the pick that they got from the Texans in the Deshaun Watson trade.
Pretty damn good player.
Denzel Ward is number 89 on the list. So while we were all making fun of the Browns for passing on Carson Wentz and making trades, passing on Deshaun Watson and making trades, Baker Mayfield 75th on the list, Deshaun Watson 77th.
Right.
If the Browns wound up finding their quarterback and Baker Mayfield winds up being a guy who has you in that conversation every year in the AFC, and they manage to flip these other picks and turn them into guys who are dotting this list, the Browns did a pretty good job.
They could be headed toward AFC contender for sure.
Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.